Cold Fusion, it was announced as Cold Fusion, which was sort of a misnomer, right? I mean, it's not really Cold Fusion. You're not exactly sure why it does what it does. But explain what it does, what its potential is.
Well, I'm not a scientist.
And understood.
I am the kind of like the head PR cheerleader for all the scientists. But
you're the perfect guy to talk to.
Right, exactly. But it's essentially fusion at room temperature. Now, for a lot of people that are not scientists, the first time they were really exposed to this, the concept of it, was in a movie called The Saint, starring Val Kilmer and Elizabeth Shue. That was the first time people were kind of bathed in that type of media and the concept of cold fusion. And in that movie, cold fusion was the centrifuge and center of the piece. It was basically a guy, a Russian mob boss, so to speak, trying to buy off the rights and control the world's energy supply with cold fusion. And it basically, when cold fusion initially came out, Pons and Fleischmann that discovered that, obviously they were taken down and their careers were ended. But a lot of people just couldn't understand how it is possible that you can have a reaction, a nuclear reaction on your tabletop under completely different conditions without having all the negative effects of what we're seeing and witnessing all over the world today in Japan. And it went against the grain of everything in science, upset everybody, and caused major problems. So that from a layman's perspective, it would be like Michael McCooper said to me when I interviewed him, taking a square foot of seawater and being able to energize and supply enough power for the city of L.A. permanently.
There is research being done. What I've read about it, though, no one has really figured it out, why it works. And they especially haven't figured out why it doesn't work all the time, as you expressed. So, I mean, before we talk about implementing it and changing the world, it seems to me that they need to figure out why it works and how to make it work all the time first, don't they?
Well, here's the news, and I was going to get to this. The last conference, the last ICCF conference, 16, took place. That's the ongoing yearly conference they had in India regarding cold fusion, where all the scientists get together and they share information. There's two Italian scientists, Rossi and Ficardi. Now, these guys have managed to be able to reproduce it on command, so to speak. And this is a major, gigantic news story that should be all over the networks. It's more
that is not reported anywhere?
No, it has been, but not enough. I mean, instead of Charlie Sheen, we should be talking about Rossi and Ficardi and what they've done. And basically, when I was interviewing Ed Storms, who attended this conference, he basically admitted that we have arrived now. These two Italian scientists have now been able to reproduce it on command, and they were saying, and this is what was reported to me by Dr. Storm, by the end of 2011, there will be a commercial model be available to the public by the end of 2011.
And is this the kind of thing is so valuable they keep it under their hats, or will they release the data so that other scientists, potential investors, can say, okay, we see how it works, we're ready to move forward?
I think that's happening now. In fact, Dr. Storms told me that in Florida they're having a kind of private showing of it in front of a large company with investors and so forth, so they can put this thing to use. So we've arrived at a certain point now. It's not we're not at the point where now we know it. We're not at the point where we know it exists. We sometimes can make it work, and sometimes cannot make it work. Now we're at the point where now we can make it work and reproduce it. In fact, I'm in touch with Rossi right now, and I'm going to be interviewing him shortly because they're set to, I'm not sure the date or location, but they're going to have a private kind of unveiling of this in the state of Florida coming up very shortly.
But is that for investors or for the government or for whom?
For investors and for a specific company that's been set up for this. Which is
basically, we have to take your word for it right now that it's been proven and it works, though, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I take Dr. Storm's word for it. He's the expert in it. He's already gone public with that. When they were filming me for a documentary regarding, it's called True Believers, And I did a special interview with him after he came back from India. And all the interview is posted on that particular website, everything that he said. And it's basically, you know, it's good news. It's great news. It's a new era that's about to begin.
Have there been attempts to patent the technology, at least one of the versions, one or more of the versions, and what problems did they run into at the patent office?
As far as I know, from what Storm has told me, yes. The issue of patent issues and ownership is it's the issue, actually. And I have a big problem with that, and I've discussed it with other scientists about the philosophical nature of patenting something which essentially could liberate the world. I mean, and I propose this for people to think about this as well, is if you have something like this, now, I'm all for people being compensated for their technology and invention, but is it right to try and own it entirely outright? And by doing so, does the effect of owning that technology cause problems for the world? Because I know it sounds idealistic, but if you have an energy source which is indefinite and free, why would we want to have a particular group of people have dominance and control over it? And then that's part of what I feel is why this thing has been shoved down for so long and put underneath, because of the ownership issues to it.
Well, sure. I mean, if you're going to have investors, people who put up money to get something rolling, they should expect some kind of return. I can understand that.
Right. And that, because I've talked to loads of the scientists all over the place. Jed Rothwell, Dr. Peter Hagelstein, David Nagel, and it's always the same thing. I said, well, let's say hypothetically you got the $20 million that you were talking about. And he goes, well, then that's the problem. It's got to be throwaway money, because they've got to be willing to give the $20 million and not expect anything in return, because we don't know what we can do with $20 million. And then if we do find out something, then they're going to want to own it. And when they want to own it, then it causes all these other problems politically and socially. So it's a weird place for the scientists to be in, and I've discussed this one over and over again, because I'm coming at it from like not a scientific perspective, but more like I'm a guy in the public that would like to see this, and everybody else would like to see it. So what's the most fair way, seeing is that it would be the public that would back you and support you, and initially be the people that would be responsible for allowing it to come forward, because there'd be enough political pressure from the public, in other words, to put it out.